Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Joining us now on the Shift Real Estate Hotline, Larry McKenzie, head basketball coach at Minneapolis North, but that doesn't do him justice in terms of his community involvement and what he does over there and for those kids. Larry, thank you for joining us.
Happy Memorial Day, Mike, and thank you for having me.
You too. What's Memorial Day mean to you, Larry?
You know what? I mean, it's an opportunity to honor, you know, all of the men and women who gave their lives so that we can have the freedom of speech and, you know, the things that we are allowed to do in this country that people aren't allowed to do other places. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a day to take a step back and, you know, show some gratitude and appreciation for those that made the supreme sacrifice.
Have you coached many players that have gone on to military branches?
I've actually not a whole lot, but I do have a couple kids who I've got one young man now who's got to be at 20 plus years in he's stationed in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had a couple kids that have found the military as a route.
You know, I want to ask before we talk about some of the things in North Minneapolis and all that goes with it, but the, Black Tulsa in Black Wall Street, 100 years, and a lot is being made of it now, and I was not that familiar with it until recently. When you start to dig into it, you go, this is a landmark, unbelievable event. What do you know about it, and is it taught? I mean, is the African-American community much more familiar with it than we are? Because I'm looking at this saying, why don't I know more about this unbelievable event?
Mike, I'm going to tell you, it's interesting you say that. I've heard that from a lot of my white friends over the last week saying the same thing. I tell people, I think it depends on your upbringing. Like I said, I grew up, you know, in a household with two educators. So my dad always made us aware of those kind of things, you know, for a number of reasons. One, to instill some pride in us about the history of the race and know that, you know, the contributions that we contributed to this country was more than the role of slavery. So, yes, I've been aware of the Black Wall Street for a number of years in my life and aware of, you know, the bombs that was dropped and all of those other kinds of things. It's a great history there. And so I'm thankful that as a result of some of the challenges that we've had, I mean, and to me, like, this is important stuff because this is part of our American history, and it's conversations that we got to start having. But, I mean, in addition to Tulsa, there's a number of communities that have those kind of stories around the country where there were strong Black communities, you know, that was built and then later destroyed for whatever reason.
Well, but the takeaway, I mean, the line that gets you is 300 people murdered and no one was ever charged or convicted. I mean, that's the one that gets you.
Correct. Yep. And you know, so the interesting part about the history, I mean, we know what happened, right? And what I don't know, and hopefully maybe that'll be told tonight, I mean, was that a federal decision? Was it a local decision? You know, because it's one of the few times in American history where actually planes were used to drop bombs on American citizens.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't get over it when I started to look into this, and I thought, you know, and Al Nunes was telling me about how he had taught this to his class in Hopkins that he teaches, and I go, oh, my God, you know, and So I mean, good for us for recognizing and learning. Larry, I was on the north side last week, and there's this. You can explain it much better than I do. There's this strange thing that's happened over the last year, and that is there's some vindication because of the George Floyd and the Chauvin verdict, and then there's some fear on the other side because gang violence seems to be up, and there seems to be more drive-by shootings, and you know, three young kids that are, two of them have died, and one's in critical condition. Explain how it feels on the north side of Minneapolis right now, because I found it to be kind of complicated.
Well, I would tell you it's very complicated, Maxie. I mean, you know, right now, I mean, certainly, you know, we know that it's short of police, so we've seen an increase in crime, as you said. You know, the gun violence, the carjackings, all kind of things that are going on right now. And so, you know, people are a little on pins and needles, right? I mean, you got to kind of, you know, and you got to keep your head on a swivel in terms of as you're navigating through the community. And at the same time, you know, I mean, there are some of us that really feel like this city leadership, you know, the mayor, the city council, have really forgotten about North Minneapolis. You know, it's interesting, the dollars that were spent during the Chauvin trial to protect downtown and the businesses and all of those kind of things. And, you know, I mean, so far, I mean, we've heard a lot of ideas, but we've yet to see any real action or things put in place to begin to combat some of the crime and stuff that's going on in North Minneapolis.
Well, and in case in point, when the mayor comes out and he says, it's not acceptable that children are being shot in North Minneapolis, we don't need it, we can't take that anymore. I get all that, but we already know that, Larry, you know? And when exactly. He says that, it's like, yeah, well, we already know that that's not acceptable. What we need to know is what's the plan, so to speak.
I guess that's why me and you are such good friends, Maxie, because it's the same thing, right? You know, and even with, you know, again, the leadership of the council, right? We all know what the problems are, right? You guys are the ones that are getting paid down there to do the job. What are the solutions? And we've not seen them as of yet. You know, the response always be, I mean, we're working on it. We're working on it.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you know, we got kids and, you know, we're continuing to lose lives. And, you know, I'm telling you, Maxie, as somebody who lives in the community, man, when the sun goes down, the constant gunshots and all of those kind of things. I mean, it's challenging some nights.
I talked to one of your players. I won't say his name, only because I don't want to draw attention to him in that way. But one of your players from this past year I happened to run into in a different place. We started talking. I didn't realize who he was, and we started talking once I knew who it was. And he was explaining to me the difference between last year at this time and this year. And he said last year at this time, meaning post-George Floyd and in the COVID era, he felt free to ride his bike around North Minneapolis and to walk down to the local playground and play basketball. He said he will not do that anymore. He's at home, or he gets in the car to drive wherever he thinks it's a safe haven, wherever that is. And I thought, oh my gosh, and that's true, huh? I mean, kids are feeling that to
true,
that extent,
Max,
where
I
they
mean,
just don't want to be walking on the sidewalks or hanging out in the parks.
Right, it's very true. You know, I was just talking to my wife about that last week, because we had our granddaughters, and we wanted to go, you know, they wanted to go to the park. And so we had to drive, you know, outside of the community. So, you know, someplace where we felt a little bit more secure and safer so that they can actually, you know, be kids and, you know, get on the swings and those kind of things. And so, yeah, I don't even know how to describe it, but we're on pins and needles without question right now. You know, waiting for leadership to come up with an answer about how they're going to address what's going on in North Minneapolis.
Larry, when you know, obviously you've worked at the schools for a long time, Henry and Minneapolis North. Is it easy for you to recognize when someone's being recruited by a gang? Or how do you go about that as an educator and a coach? How do you watch out for who might be vulnerable, and how do you know if they could be heading in that direction?
I think one of the things is, like anything, Maxie, you begin to, you know, people say you look at a circle, you know, a kid's circle tells you a lot about, you know, what's going on with them and who, you know, what kind of things they might be doing. And I mean, I think if you kind of know families and that kind of stuff, you see the signs about what's going on and that kind of stuff. And you can, you know, you can do the best that you can. I mean, the reality of it is that, you know, there are some of them that we can get to and get them on the right track. And there's other kids. I mean, it's hard to win against the street for a lot of kids. I mean, and so, you know, that's one of the things that we've got to figure out, like, and for these kids that, you know, part of it is, I mean, certainly the COVID didn't help. But again, Max, we've talked about this. I know over the years, I mean, there's a limited amount of what kids in this community could do. There is no theater. There's no bowling alley. There is no, you know, part that kids really want to hang out. So, I mean, they're limited in terms of options, and that leaves them idle time is the devil's workshop.
It sure is. And for teenagers especially, we got to give them direction and something to do, and they might choose to do the right thing, but there's no guarantee, right?
There's no guarantee at all, right? But at least it will be helpful to have those options for them. And right now, that's what we don't have.
What do you look at as the biggest enemy right now in North Minneapolis? Is it gang leadership that realizes people are vulnerable? Is it lack of police enforcement? Is there one particular thing that you say we got to get ahead of?
I don't think it's one particular thing at all, Maxie. And I think in the end, it really is about economic development. People want to live. People want, you know, I mean, when you look at the article in the Star Tribune on Sunday about most of the property being, you know, rented and those kind of things. I mean, people just want opportunities, right? To be able to have what other people have. And I think there's a need for economic development, for jobs in this community, for investment into schools in this community. It's all of the above.
When everybody has their own part to play, and you're in charge of a basketball team, which is, you know, 15 players on the varsity. You can extend that into the entire, you know, the 9th through 12th grade. What do you try to do for them, and what do you try to do? You know, last summer I remember you guys were working out, but what do you try to do to make sure they're doing the right thing, even now in the summertime?
So what we try to do, Max, is we invest a lot into life skills and mentoring and that kind of stuff, and so we try to make sure, one, that they're busy, you know, have as much access to the gym and the weight room and those kind of things. But we also bring positive adults around. You know, we try to, as a group, go to the Timberwolves games and all of those kind of things. And, you know, have people come in and talk to them, you know, people who live through this community, people who've navigated, you know, to help our kids understand, you know, that there is a way out, that you can make it, you know what I'm saying? So we try to do what we just talked about. We try to give them options, right, to the extent of the resources that we have. We try to give them other options so that it's not necessarily about the street life.
Do you sense in general, and this is a broad question, but it's something that I really resonated with me in covering the strife over the last year. There's a word called hope. And either you have it or you don't, but you have to believe that there's no ceiling there. You have to truly believe that. Do most of the kids that you coach truly believe that, or is it kind of like, hey, coach, we've heard this before, or, you know, I'm not going to believe you till I get into college and find out for myself? What do they feel like?
No, I think one of the things that we've been blessed with in our community, when you have the Khalid Elamines and the Tyler Johnsons and, you know, a number of people that I can say, Houston White, the John Bakers. There's so many young people, Bobby Joe Champion. There's so many folks who've come out of North High School who's navigated and who are doing really, really well. So, I mean, those are the rays of hope that we can point our kids to, because they were once you, the Charles Adams, the third. I mean, all of those. So our kids have people that they can look to. You know, like, you can be this if you want to. It will require a lot of sacrifice, and you have to be willing to make that sacrifice. And that's all we can do, is keep giving them the message. But you can never, ever lose hope.
When you have somebody that does well, and I know this is a complicated question, but it's one that I watch sometimes, and I don't know what the answer is to it. Do you want to see those people come back and live in the North community as opposed to go somewhere else or gravitate to the suburbs and have their kids end up in the suburbs? Does that matter to you? Are they great examples no matter where they are, or is it important that somehow they try to engage in the community after?
I think, Max, my own personal preference, yes, it would be great to have those kind of folks relocate within North Minneapolis. But I do understand that people got to make decisions about, you know, based on their families and kids and all occupation and all of those other kinds of things. So it happens. But, you know, nonetheless, I mean, again, you know, you got people like Henry Lake and others, as I've said, I mean, who, you know, may not live in the community per se, but they're always willing to come and give
sure.
back and spend time with the kids. And so you take what you can.
Larry, it went too quick as always, but I always enjoy talking to you, and I hope that I see you in person real soon.
Looking forward to it, Maxie. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.